Meanwhile, 200-some miles west of Flint, another equally persistent FOIA campaign is underway in Chicago. Earlier this month, a Cook County judge ordered the besieged Chicago Police Department, already in turmoil over fatal shooting incidents, to turn over all of its records on its use of stingray devices. By imitating cell phone towers, stingrays make it possible to collect data about cell phone users' locations and calls. Federal regulations currently require the FBI, DEA, Immigration, Secret Service, and Homeland Security officials to obtain warrants to use stingrays, but those rules don't apply to local and state law enforcement. The Cook County decision came in response to a lawsuit filed by Freddie Martinez, director of Lucy Parsons Labs, a Chicago-based collective of techies and activists. With a barrage of FOIAs, they've sought information on what surveillance equipment the cops have, how opaquely they obtain it, and how they use it. Freddie, welcome to OTM.
Thank you.
So tell me, what can a stingray do that the cops can't do now, or at least can't do now without a whole mess of resources?
One of the things that stingrays can do is they can gather information about a particular number, who they're calling, how long those calls last, etc. Typically, this information would get reviewed by a court, and they would issue what's called a trap and trace order. Then that court order is served to a telecom company, so it'll go to Verizon or AT&T. Stingrays can gather that same information without a court order, without having to go to the phone companies, but then they can also gather, you know, real-time location tracking. So there's a wide range of capabilities.
Your investigation is focused largely on the hardware and how it was acquired. Tell me what you know so far.
It seems that most of the surveillance equipment that's being deployed across Chicago is being paid for with what are called 1505 funds. They're similar to like federal asset forfeiture, but it is on a local level.
Civil asset forfeiture, that allows police to seize and to keep any property or cash they suspect is involved in a crime like drug sales. But why wouldn't the Chicago police, if they so needed this hardware, just budget for it and buy it through normal procurement channels?
I think it's about not having people ask critical questions. You know, in our lawsuit, we asked for information about how it's deployed, and this is military-grade equipment, and they claim that they have no records of this equipment being checked in or out of the Chicago Tech Lab. Now, if they told that to an alderman, they would probably not let that fly. If you take this money from the war on drugs, use it to buy equipment, and run around town with it without anyone overseeing it, then you get away with a lot more.
To run around town with it, to track whom, by the way?
Since this equipment has been purchased by the Bureau of Organized Crime, it's all housed in Homan Square. That's where a lot of narcotics and gang investigations are run out of, and also vice. I think it is about sort of targeting usually poor people, black and brown people, young men. I think they're taking this money from the war on drugs and using it to self-perpetuate the war on drugs.
You surmise that it's being used to keep tabs on the most vulnerable citizens of the city of Chicago. Do you have any evidence that that's actually taking place?
So we've run into this very strange argument that was presented by Chicago Police Department that they get court orders for these cases. We don't know what they tell to the judges, but then they seal them and they say, well, you can go to the judge that signed off on this and ask them to unseal the order. Well, first of all, we don't know which judges in which districts. We don't know who to petition to unseal the order itself. So we get in this very catch-22 of surveillance. We know what we're looking for, but we don't even know where to start.
FOIA is supposed to be a kind of rope ladder to get across an institutional stone wall. How responsive has the Chicago Police Department been to your requests?
It varies. Sometimes we have things that are over-redacted. You know, I have an open request for emails about asset forfeiture from, you know, one police officer who oversees this program. That's 6 months late. We had to sue two different times to get more information. FOIA is a tool, but it fails in a lot of ways.
Now, at the risk of sounding condescending, you are a dogged young man. And persistence is nice, but with FOIA, I understand there's actually a risk of being too persistent.
That's correct. If you send too many requests or too many in too short of a time period, you get flagged as what's called a recurrent requester. And that means that the agency that receives your request can take much longer to respond to your request. One of the provisions of Illinois FOIA is that nonprofits are exempt from this. So my colleagues and myself said, well, there's four of us. We have $80. Let's just register it as a nonprofit. And that's sort of the genesis of Lucy Parsons Labs.
Now, considering the name Lucy Parsons Labs, this seems to be a reference to the Chicago PD's long history of surveilling alleged subversives. She was an activist. This was in the midst of labor demonstrations, including the Haymarket riot, and she represents the heavy hand of government against organized dissent.
Yeah, she was once called by Chicago Police Department the most dangerous woman in Chicago.
Now, let me ask you a little bit about psychology, and I'm probably getting a little beyond your area of expertise.
Okay.
But when I was a kid and I got new toys, I ran out and used them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we've seen in various SWAT team deployments and so forth, when the tanks come out, the earth movers come out, the, I don't know, rocket-propelled grenades come out, it's not like they keep the stuff in a locker and never use it.
Right. In Baltimore, there was 4,300 deployments in 3 years, so that's something like three times a day. We don't have statistics in Chicago, but Baltimore is a much smaller town than Chicago. So you have to wonder what's going on there. I think that that's one of the implicit dangers of always allocating money to the police department. We'll get them tasers or body cams. It's always allocating more resources instead of investing resources in communities. We want to get to the bottom of deep issues like the war on drugs, not just talk about the funding of the war on drugs, you know, but ultimately get to issues of like eradicating the war on drugs.
All right, Freddie, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Freddie Martinez is director of the Lucy Parsons Labs.
Coming up, Benghazi on the big screen and in the public mind.
This is On the Media.